Be sure to check out the CB app or hit up Facebook and tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sundays at 10 p.m. on WGN-TV. Your pick just might be Chicago's Best.
Rokan Show with Anna DeBlancis right here on 720 WGN Chicago. All right, the professor. It's time to call the professor. Time to call a guy smarter than we are.
Maybe he could help.
I don't know. I don't think he can. Alan Dershowitz is here on the Super Celebrity Hotline. He's got an ebook out called Electile Dysfunction, A Guide for Unaroused Voters. Professor, where do we get that?
Well, you know, when you get to be my age, I just turned 78, it's harder to get aroused by candidates because we're used to great candidates in the past. And now we have two candidates who most Americans don't want to vote for. They want to vote against one of them, but they don't want to vote for them. And we're seeing the rise of this kind of hate voting all over the world. We're seeing the rise of populism where people who have never before been in office suddenly catch the public imagination and are elected. This may happen this year, obviously, with Donald Trump. Whether he wins or loses, having won all those Republican primaries and being the nominee of a party without having any elected office or any previous experience in government tells us something's happening different in the electoral system.
I think that two things have happened here. I think you're right. And I think that this is, you're seeing this around the world. It's not just happening here, as you're pointing out, which is a very important thing. That means that there's extra cultural things occurring. So what's happened? What has changed? Technology has changed. Social media gives people a false sense of democracy and a separate voice, and also a different route by which candidates can get around referees.
Oh, there's no question. Our system of checks and balances is failing because what we're getting is what the framers of our Constitution didn't want, direct democracy. Somebody just goes to the people and says, hey, vote for me. I don't have to go through the system, the party system. I don't have to go through the mechanisms of checks and balances. And what we're seeing is perception overtaking reality. If you ask most people today, they'll tell you they're much worse off than they actually are. The statistics show that the economy is actually improving across the board, particularly for people on the poor side of the continuum. The situation, for example, for African Americans in relation to the police has dramatically improved in the 20 years since O.J. Simpson and the King case and all of those cases. But since we have viral videos every time an African American is shot by a policeman, it's as if it happened 1,000 times, and it's as if it's the only thing in the news. And so people think it's much more prevalent than it is, likewise with the economy. So I think that the social media exacerbate and exaggerate and make people angrier than they ought to be. Now, that's a strange thing to say. People ought to be as angry as they are, but they should have a basis for it. In Eastern Europe, the same thing's happening. People are much better off than they used to be. But now they're saying things are terrible. We have to go back to nationalism and fascism and the kind of things that they had before the Second World War. It's quite scary. You know, America is a centrist country. We've never had large communist parties or fascist parties. But the alt-right and the extreme left are moving us in that direction.
Right.
It is so polarizing. I just think that there's like this dissatisfaction with the status quo. And I think some of the people voting for Trump believe that a vote for Trump is to say, let's disrupt this system that doesn't really feel like, despite those statistics you just told us about rising incomes on the lower end of the scale and other things like that we're supposed to be feeling. A vote for Trump means we'll disrupt what we currently have.
I think that's right. I think we know exactly who Hillary Clinton is. She's eminently predictable, which is why I'm voting for her. I think we need stability and centrism in a world that's growingly unstable. But a lot of people say that the last thing they want is what they've been getting. So they're willing to gamble with change, even though they don't know precisely what the change is. Tonight, we'll see. Maybe Trump will tell us a little bit more about his specific policies, although his debate coaches are telling him to remain general, don't get involved in the weeds, let Hillary Clinton bore everybody with her wonky approach to policy, and I'll just say, make America great again. And friend of mine just, I was in Great Britain recently, a friend of mine gave me a hat that said, make America Great Britain again.
Oh, gosh. We could have a reverse tea party or something.
Well, that guy, that Boris dude, was in America, obviously, this week for UN Week.
That's right.
Right? And he sat down with George Stephanopoulos. That was fascinating, actually.
And we had the mayor of London here in Chicago.
Yeah, because because that guy is like, he's got the same, he's follically challenged. His hair's all jacked up, right? And he's like, he's got the same sort of Trumpian thing. He just bold statements don't seem to, with nothing behind them. And that's the thing, Alan, that really does, I feel the same way. I'm frightened because, and I think a lot of people are, because, you know, those who were ignorant of history are doomed to repeat it. And that's really very, very true. That's not just, you know, a trite axiom. It's an axiom, not a trite saying. It really does occur.
The British figured it out. I mean, they didn't, you know, obviously Boris Johnson wanted to be the prime minister, but he didn't get it. He got to be foreign minister, but a woman who nobody really has ever heard of, a real centrist, got to be prime minister. They basically appointed her. There was no election. And then the Labour Party is now made, as it said, somebody who makes Sanders seem like a right-wing Republican. This guy is so hard left, so anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, anti—you name it, anti-British, anti-Europe, anti-everything, and he's now the head of the Labour Party, it shows the extremes to which people go. And you know, 3% of Americans say they're going to vote for Jill Stein. Has anybody met Jill Stein? I mean, she is so anti-American, so anti-Western, so you name it. She's
We've met her. We've met her. She's wholly unqualified. Actually, here's the best part. Of the four, the two who are going to be debating tonight are the most qualified of the four. I'll say that. I mean, Gary Johnson is stoned. I mean, he's actually stoned, Alan Dershowitz. Hey, I want to ask you a question before we let you go.
Sure.
And I'm very excited about about the book. I can't wait to download it tonight. But I got to know this. How did you like your portrayal in the O.J. Simpson movie?
Oh, it was fine. You know, it was a bit part, but not as good as I liked Reversal of Fortune when Silver played me. That was much, much better, but this was fine. I mean,
Brian Silver. Well, okay.
Tough comparison.
That's a little different.
He made a good presentation.
Did you like the film? The series?
I liked the ESPN one better.
Yeah.
I think the ESPN one captured the times better. And they left out the most important thing in both of the shows, and that is that we were able to prove that a sock that had the blood of O.J. and the blood of both victims, the blood had been poured on it from a test tube, which had a chemical called EDTA. And the jurors all came to the conclusion that one piece of evidence, just one piece, had been tampered with. And that led a number of them to say, if we can't trust one piece of evidence, how can we trust the rest? That was left out for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe it's because it was too technical. But it would have helped explain the verdict better than I think it was explained in either of the two shows.
Alan, listen, you and I have known each other since that trial. No one can explain the verdict. All right, here, let me tell you something. When I watched Evan Handler walk into the actor who played you in that, who was Harry on Sex and the City, I'm like,
oh, gosh.
I'm looking at it, and I'm going, all right, it kind of, sort of, a little look like you. And then I thought, who is that guy? And I had to go look it up and go, oh, my God, that's the guy from Sex and the City.
That's kind of a compliment, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. Mm. He came to see me. We talked a lot. We schmoozed. We had a bagel.
All right, let's see what happened there.
We gave him some of my gestures, and he used them. So problem.
There you go. Alan Dershowitz. The book, or the e-book, is Electile Dysfunction, A Guide for Unaroused Voters. And is it on your website or where? Just anywhere. Kindle, Amazon?
You get it in Kindle and Amazon. You can also get it as a hardcover book, but you have to send for it from Amazon. It's not really in stores. You know, I did it in a month during the summer, between July 4th, basically, and the beginning of August, and they put it out very, very quickly as an e-book, but you can also get it hardcover if you send to Amazon, but only on Amazon, really.
Got it. All right. Thank you very much, Professor.
Great stuff.
Thanks.
Thank
you,
anytime. Professor.
Right. Bye.
Pleasure.
There he goes.
Bye.
You can just crank out a book just like that when you're Alan Dershowitz.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to do a book. All right. Sure.
All right. Well, I think we've. I don't know if we've learned anything there, but what we're going to learn actually is that there is a break in the case now. The shooting on Michigan Avenue on Saturday night. We'll tell you all about that. But first, Judy's got all the headlines. Actually, she's got a big story coming her way in 2 minutes.